So this, do not judge or you too will be judged, is that I am better than you kind of judgment. And that's the kind of judgment we're going to be focusing on right now. We've all experienced this within schoolwork, work itself, sports, art, our taste in music, social groups, amongst friends. In every area of life, we have seen judgment that is intended to put someone in their place. This is why when I say to Dan, Dan, your sermon last week was excellent, but maybe next time you could let me do it. I think I could do it a lot better. That's how I get up here right now. It's not true, but the Bible says that the measure I hold to Dan will be held to me. And when I say that to Dan and I cast that judgment over him, God looks at me and says, well, Jared, I could do a lot better than you. And that's true. He could. Last week and a couple weeks back, we've been going over the Beatitudes. And in chapter 5, verse 7, we see that Jesus teaches us that blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. And it's that exact opposite that we're talking about today, the judgment. See, our God wants us to show mercy over judgment and condemnation. He is a God that is concerned with your heart, and that's it. He doesn't care about the niceties and the words you can say to one another. He's worried about how your heart is when you're saying it. Verse 3 to 5 says, Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take that speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. What I believe Jesus is trying to say is that it's always easier for us to point out the faults of those around us, rather than look at our own hearts, our own issues, where we feel like we don't measure up or compare to someone else. We're constantly undervaluing our own problems and shortcomings and simultaneously pointing out the faults in other people. It's a defense mechanism. Jesus teaches us that before we address other people's problems, we have to be able to look at ourselves and evaluate our hearts and see what is wrong. Jesus is stating that if we don't address ourselves first, then although our intentions may be genuine, they're faulted. And people are going to pick that out instantly. But Jesus is not saying not to help others. It's legitimate to want to help one another. To remove that speck from your brother's eye, from your sister's eye, and help them see clearly, but only after we've dealt with the issue ourselves. If I were to approach Spencer and tell him that he has a massive pride problem, huge, and he needs to really deal with that, but really, it's obvious to Spencer and everyone else that I'm the one who deals with it, then I'm the hypocrite. If anything, I'm pushing Spencer away by saying that and judging him and putting him in his place because I'm insecure about my own problem. First, I must deal with my problem before I can approach him and say, hey, I think I see something in your life that is blocking your vision. Have you ever been on an airplane? Show of hands, who's been on an airplane before? Flight attendants come and they say, your exits are here, there, washrooms are there. In a case of an emergency, the oxygen masks will deploy. What it says is that put your oxygen mask on first and then help those around you. I kind of thought that was selfish. I was like, why are you so like concerned about yourself? It's a little weird. But the point was is that if a mother with little kids has to put on her oxygen mask first, then she won't pass out so she can help those who can't do it themselves. We have to address our own need for oxygen to breathe before we can address the needs of the people around us. In the same way with our spiritual walk, we must deal with our own issues before we approach others with the struggles we see in their lives. Jesus then moves on to talk about pigs. And verse 6, it says, do you not give to dogs what is sacred, and do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. A little context around this passage is that both pigs and dogs would have been seen as unclean. In fact, the Jews wouldn't have even eaten pig because it was an unclean food. What I believe Jesus is really trying to get at here is not the fact that throwing literal pigs to pearls, but rather people that don't want to be addressed with by the things that we treasure. See, a couple weeks ago we talked about what do you treasure? Do you treasure money, status, fame, or are you treasuring what God values? Relationship with Him, humility, a relationship of truth. When people can speak truth into your life, that is something of value that you should hold on to. If we speak truth into the lives of those who are living in sin, who don't want change, and who don't want to be lifted from the dirtiness of this world and shown that a God that loves them, then when we speak this truth to them, they may as well trample all over what we say, what we hold sacred and what we value. So when I was in high school, I would overhear guys talking about how it was stupid for Christians to believe that sex within marriage was something to hold on to. See, why not just self-gratification now? See, it was something that I as a Christian would value, and they would try to put me into my place and judge me for this value that I had because they didn't hold it to the same account. They may as well just walked right all over it. Jesus is warning us that if we address the logs in our eyes, our problems, then we're equipped to help those around us, but sometimes those people don't want help. They don't want the speck removed. This is also a warning to us as believers. Guys, when we are confronted with sin in our lives, how do we respond? Do we want to reflect Jesus? Or do we want this hardness of heart that says, don't judge me. Only God can do that. Do we not want to change, or do we just not want the discomfort of looking at our own problems? Other times we use the I am better than you judgment because we become jealous of people's gifts and talents. We become insecure with our own abilities to do what we want because this person outshines us in every way. We know that self-evaluation is hard and letting others look into our lives is uncomfortable, but we live in a generation that is constantly telling us that we can be whoever we want and that we shouldn't be held back by anything. And although that's true sometimes, society also says in the same breath that we need things, earthly treasures, in order to measure up or to be of any sort of status or value. We need to look and act in a specific way in order to be relevant. And it's quite a double standard. It's easy to look around us and try to measure up. And the result is that we look at those who are under us and say, I'm better than you. And we look at those who are above us and we say, you're not so perfect. We try to pick those people apart and find their flaws and find their issues to make ourselves feel better so that we don't have to address the log in our own eye. See, I have this awesome friend of mine. He's got a lot of skills. He's got a lot of abilities. That's surpassed mine in a couple of ways. Sports, music. As a Christian, this guy hears God in a whole different way than I do sometimes. It blows me away. In fact, I'm quite jealous of the relationship he has with God because I want to hear God that tangibly. And then he walks in obedience in it, and it's an incredible picture. But see, I found that I was judging how well he was doing in order to justify my own relationship with the God that wants a relationship with both of us. So it's not wrong for me to want that relationship that he has, but it's not wrong for me to want to be a better musician or be more physically able to do those things, but I have to remember that God is not concerned with my ability, but with where my heart is. Friends, I want to make something vitally clear to every single person in this room. No matter what it is or who it is, nothing you compare yourselves to will ever be good enough. No matter what standard you guys are looking at, it won't matter. Because at the end of the day, no one's perfect and nothing is complete in that way. If we compare ourselves to those things, then we will always miss the mark. We will always miss the standard that God sets for us. God created you. He knows you. He knows your strengths, your weaknesses, and he doesn't want you to look at others and compare yourselves. Because we aren't using our gifts to glorify him then. We're too focused on looking horizontally at the platforms we put people on, instead of keeping our eyes focused on what Jesus has in store for us as individuals. Friends, we talked about how God made us, now he knows us best. So he knows the unique ability he has given each and every one of you to share the gospel. He's given each and every one of you a calling, a purpose, a passion for the sake of glorifying him. I'm going to read Matthew 25, a parable in there called Bags of Gold. And it's a little long, so bear with me, but it starts in verse 14. That's Matthew 25, 14 for those of you who are switching there right now. Again, it'll be like a man going on a journey who's called his servants and entrusted them with his wealth. To one, he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who received 5 bags of gold went and immediately put it on in the bank for an investment to gain 5 more bags. So also the one who had 2 bags of gold went and gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have 5 more." His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with few things. I will put you in charge of many. Come and share in your master's happiness." Come and share in your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags also came. "Master," he said, "you have entrusted me with 2 bags. See, I have gained 2 more." His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with few things. I will now put you in charge of more things. Come and share in your master's happiness." It's the exact same thing. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came and said, "Master," he said, "I knew that you are a hard man, investing where you have not sown, harvesting where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." His master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant, so you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed? Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that I would have a return and I would have received it back with interest." When we're focused on other people's gifts, we miss out for what God has in store for our lives. In a lot of ways, I feel like we're all the guy with 2 bags of gold. There's always going to be someone who God gives more, and there's always going to be someone who God gives less. Now, the guy with 2 bags of gold, he invested it all, and in the end, he came to God with 4, which is still less than what the guy who started with 5 had. But he doesn't get, "Oh man, I hoped you had invested it here. Maybe you would have gotten 6. No, he says, "My good and you good and faithful servant, come and share in your master's happiness." See, they both received 100% return, and they both received an invitation to come and partner with God. If we focus on other people's gifts, we miss out on what God has for our lives. If we bury our gifts because we're scared of using them, then we're just throwing it back in God's face and saying, "I don't need this." The problem is not our gifts. It's about not how many we have, but about how we use them to glorify Him. When we judge other people, 2 things happen. We hurt the person around us that we're judging, and that doesn't help build community. Or we find that we personally don't measure up. When I feel like I don't measure up with my friend, my instinct was either to try harder on my own and not through Christ, to outdo him. And if I couldn't do that on my own, then I would try to find fault within them. And when that fails, we try to back out of community with them because it's too hard to look at them when they are better. And that's exactly what the enemy wants. He wants us to back out of community with people when we don't feel that we measure up. I can say that me and this friend have a great relationship. In fact, I went to them and I opened up about this and things worked out, but that's part of an accountability relationship to say, "Hey, I've got something going on in my heart. I think I have this speck in my eye. Can you show me where it is? I see that you've dealt with this in your life, and I'm actually a little jealous that you've dealt with it because I wish I had dealt with it first, but I haven't. So can you please help me out?" Or to go to them and be like, "Okay, I'm coming at this from a humble standpoint. I think I've dealt with this. Hey, I see something in your life, and it looks uncomfortable. Can I help you?" See, that's the kind of accountability relationships that we want to build within Lighthouse, the kind of community we're looking to build here within small groups. Yep. This week, I want you guys to look for friends that offer you accountability that comes with true community. Look for people who have dealt with their own logs and who aren't afraid to show you the specks in your own eyes because they love you and not because they want to make themselves feel better. And when people find that you are judging others and you're jealous of their strengths, I want you guys to take a look at what God's given you and take it to God and say, "Please show me my strengths. Show me where you want me so that I can glorify you, so that I can partner with you in this life and show you the best, give you 100%. Ask him where he's at life within you and how you can partner with him. Our desire for this community is that we walk in the giftings God has given us. That we stand together in prayer, building one another up. That we're not afraid to address the state of our hearts and hold one another to an account. Worship team, if you guys want to come up, you guys can tinker a little bit if you guys are prepared for that. But we're going to jump into some communion. I'm going to invite Spencer and Dan up to do that. This is a time for us to look together in community and reminisce upon the sacrifice that Jesus gave for us. To remember that he died for our sins and that he rose again to set us free from judgment. You're free to come at your own pace. You guys don't have to make a line. But before or after you guys receive communion, I'd like to ask you guys to pray with those around you. If that means small groups or an individual, I actually want you guys to get down and pray. I want you guys to reach out to a complete stranger, someone you've never talked to before maybe, and pray with them and ask them if they need some prayer over the specks or logs in their eyes. This is a time to think, to pray, to give, and to worship God. So I just want to ask him to show us where our strengths are so that we can partner with him. Lord, we thank you so much for community. Community that holds one another to an account in order to better ourselves so that we can see more of you, so that we can see that we have something blinding us, but to remove it in order to see more of what you're doing so that we can partner with you in this, Father. I ask that you work in amongst us and you build connections between us, connections that force us to become accountable, to look into our own lives and deal with the things we don't want to look at. Lord, we just thank you for this community and we ask that you bless the rest of this night as we worship you through giving, communion, and worship. In your name we pray. Jesus, amen. Oh, and there's two stations if you guys want to go take a look. You're more than welcome to.